It's good to see everybody. And to start off, imitating Christ is not an event. It's not a personality, but it is a lifelong process. And we know what processes are. You know, we're adults here, and we've been through a lot of processes through our life, you know. And I do know that salvation happens in a moment. We're saved. We're all saved here. And so we know that in a minute, God can bring us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, you know. But transformation happens over time, you know. And just like an infant being born, it don't eat steak right out of the mother's womb, you know. But it's a process for that baby as it grows to go from liquids to mushy stuff and then into the solids, you know. And so the goal of Christianity is not simply a conversion. It is conformity. Because we know the Bible says to come out from among them and be ye separate. Be not conformed to this world, you know. And so Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And we see here that word conformed, and that implies shaping, pressure, you know, and a process. And sometimes I know with me, I don't like processes because I want it now. I'm like a microwave. I want to be able to hit a minute and 30 seconds, and that timer goes off. It's already hot, ready to roll. But I know growing up, on Sunday morning, my mom will get up early in the morning, sit out this big old container called a crock pot. And the process began at 6 o'clock in the morning. And as church ended, we had to hurry up and get home. We got meat ready for us in the crock pot, you know. But absolutely. Yeah. It was good. It was better than that Burger King, you know. But that process takes time. And to imitate Christ is to allow the Spirit of God to shape our character, our thinking, our reactions, and a daily choice until it reflects Him. So we want God to be in our life to where we can shape our life after Him. And so, number one, a deeper understanding of how Jesus lived and how He taught. If we are going to imitate Christ, we must look closely at how He lived. And Jesus did not just teach the truth, but He lived it. He embodied it. And that's what God wants us to do when He wants us to be like Him. Christ-like living, He wants us to embody the same thing. And so He lived with the intention of dependence. John 5:19 says the Son can do nothing of Himself. And Jesus modeled dependence on the Father. He withdrew to pray. He sought alignment before action. And spiritually, maturity begins with dependence, not independence. You know, and that's why I feel like the Bible says, if one man can sin 1,000, what can two do? You know, and so being independent is good to a point, but you want to be dependent. I want to be able to depend on my brothers and my sisters. I don't want to be independent where I isolate and I'm all alone, because I can only do so much by myself. But when I link arms with my brothers and sisters, man, we can move mountains. We can get some things done, right, brother?
Yes.
You know, when two minds are thinking alike, man, we can really do some things. You know, and I know being an independent contractor, when you have somebody that helps you and you don't have to say a word, man, they know exactly what you're thinking. They know the next move. And that's the way God wants us to be with one another. You know, when we see something going on, you don't have to say nothing, but when we see it, hey, let's lock arm in arm, let's pray, let's touch the throne of Calvary and let's get this thing, you know, allow God to move in our situation. And so spiritually, maturity begins with dependence and not independence. Constant obedience. Philippians 2 and 8 says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Obedience was not occasion for Jesus. It was continuous. Imitating Christ means obedience when it is convenient and when it is costly. When I see obedience, man, that it's just hard for my understanding sometimes to be obedient because I want to do my own thing. But that's where we can't be independent. We got to be dependent on God's word. We got to obey God's word. So compassion in action, Matthew 9:36. He was moved with compassion. Jesus did not simply feel compassion. He acted on it. And that's why he touched the lepers. That's the reason why he forgave the sinners. That's the reason why he welcomed children. And that's why he restored failures. And we can read that through Genesis all the way to Revelation. How he restored, how he healed, how he forgave and forgave and forgave and welcomed, you know. And so Christ-like maturity is revealed in how we treat people. Insight into Christ-like character and spiritual maturity is not measured by information, it is measured by formation. And so my mind goes to military. You can have all the information you want, but are you in formation? Are you in line? Are we stepping at the same step? You know, and that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be in formation, you know, in line. When the praise team gets up, hey, we're all worshiping. Yes. We're not out here like scattered ants, you know, doing our own thing. But no, there's camaraderie. When the man of God gets up and preaches, we get behind him. And, amen, pastor, you know. And so let this mind be in you, which is Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus washed feet. He embraced the cross. And he chose servanthood over status. Maturity moves from us needing recognition into embracing responsibility. And so, patience. Jesus endured misunderstanding. He endured betrayal. And he endured delay. Maturity is revealed in how we respond under pressure. Forgiveness. On the cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's hard as a human to look beyond the actions of others, you know, to look beyond the failure of what they've done to you, to be able to say, I forgive you. If you never forgive me, but I forgive you. Because that's what Jesus did. He didn't hear the response of, Jesus, I do forgive you. No, he just, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't need a response. You know, but our human minds, we want a response. I want to hear him say, I forgive you. But I've came to the realization that, you know, as long as I do my part, that's all God wants us to do, is that for us to do our part, for us to learn how to forgive others. Because they know, they probably don't know what they're doing is wrong. You know, and so that's why God wants us to imitate his way of thinking, the way his life was on this earth. Imitating Christ means we do not hold what Christ has released. Practical ways to follow Jesus in everyday situation. Imitating Christ must move beyond theory. How do we follow him daily? In our reactions, we criticize, we want to respond with gentleness. With misunderstood, we want to choose clarity over anger. When wronged, let's choose forgiveness. Let's choose forgiveness. So I have a question. What would you reflect Christ in this moment? What would you reflect Christ in this moment? Just think about it for a minute. So in our speech, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Jesus spoke truth, but never cruelty. Imitating Christ means we want to speak life. We want to refuse the gossip line. And then we want to refuse to go in a tone of anger. You know, we want to respond in gentleness. And so we want to guard our tone on how we approach situations, how we approach conflict. You know, we want to, because your tone, the way you approach somebody, that's how they're going to respond to you or even react to you. You know, because there's a difference between responding and reacting. I react because that stove is hot. But I respond by, okay, I'm not going to put my hand over that element. I'm going to move slowly and turn it off. You know, or I'm going to move slowly to ignite, you know, my firewood. I'm not going to just, you know, strike a match and just put it all in there. No, we want to move. We want to respond and not react. And like I've said before, you know, we've got, when there's an accident, we have first responders because they're well equipped and they're ready for the situation. And in their mind is like, I'm sure when they're going to a call, it's like, I wonder what this situation is going to be like. And so they prepare for the worst. That's why they're called first responders. They're always trained to respond to a situation and not react. Because when you react, you start messing things up. You start forgetting things, you know, and you're in a hurry. Things start breaking. You start making misjudgments. But when you respond, it's like taking a step back and just, okay, let me take a breath here. Let me take a breather. Give me 5 seconds to respond to this situation. And so if we are too busy to pray, too distracted to serve, or too consumed to notice a need, we are drifting from imitation. And so in hidden faithfulness, Jesus lived 30 years in relative obscurity before public ministry. Most Christ-likeness is formed in private obedience. So God's going to move in your quiet time. He's going to tell you, hey, go pray for that. Go pray for this individual. Or hey, text this individual. Just see how they're doing. Or are we too busy? Man, I've got other things. I've got to get this done. I got to get that done. I've got to go over here. I got to go over here. I got to go over there. I got to go meet this individual. And God is saying, hey, just slow down. Take a breath. We've got a need here that needs to be met. And God is wanting you to obey by responding to His request. Greater alignment between belief and daily behavior. The danger is believing right, but living misaligned. When I see alignment, my mind goes to a mechanical thing. You know, and when your vehicle's not aligned, it can give you some issues really quick. Pigeon towing, you know. Pigeon, you know, your tie rod ends out, your tie rod ends too far, pigeon towing in, pigeon towing out, you know, you got some alignment that needs to be done on your vehicle, you know, and you're spending thousands of dollars on tires and you want, the first thing is, please realign my vehicle, you know, and that's the same thing here. We want to live an aligned life. We can affirm doctrine, yet reflect impatience. We can sing worship, but yet resist surrender. We can preach humility, but yet we protect pride. So imitating Christ closes the gap between belief and behavior. I can believe all day long, but am I behaving what I believe? James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word So alignment means what I say, I believe, is visible in how I live. The true discipleship is not information accumulation. It is transformation demonstration. How many of you like to see demonstrations? So do I. I like to see demonstration because that's how I learn. You show me one time, I'm good.
Yeah, hands on.
Hands on. That's why God says you will be healed by the laying of on hands. I can speak it too, but God wants to see some action. Lay your hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You know, when you bind up a wound, do you just sit there and just, okay, I'm binding up your wound right now by looking at it? No. There's some action to it. Got to get the gauze. Got to get the medical tape. Got to get some sterilization on that wound. So there's action to binding up wounds. There's action to, you know, showing me how I need to live. There's action. God wants action. He wants to see it. Don't be just doers. Don't be just hearers. I can hear all day long, but I like seeing progress. I know we all like to see progress. We all like to see, okay, we're getting this thing done, you know. And so, I think I went ahead of myself, but that's okay. But we don't want to be doers, but we be ye doers of the word and not just hearers. So alignment means what I say, I believe, is visible in how I live. True discipleship is information accumulation. It is transformation and demonstration. So why is it a lifelong? We do not outgrow imitation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's a lifelong process, being a follower. You're not defined on who follows you, but you are defined by who you follow. I know Facebook followers. Oh, I got 1,000 followers. Good. Well, who are you following? Because that's what I want to see. I can care less who follows you, but who are you following? That's the, like my dad said, that's where the rubber meets the road. You can take to the bank and cash that. That's what my dad would always say. I love that terminology. You don't hear that no more. You know, but you are defined by who you follow. Even Paul was still following, imitating Christ. It deepens with age. It expands with experience, and it refines through testing. I feel like I'm not teaching a bunch of kids here, but I'm teaching maturity adults that have gone through some processes, have gone through some fires, which is called refining, you know, have expanded their experiences. You know, Brother Boggs, you wouldn't be where you're at today in painting if you were still the first day you started, right?
Sir.
No, it's experience. Yes. You learn by experience. You learn by refining, going through that fire. Boy, I ain't going through that again. I've learned my lesson on that one. I'm not going down that road again. So God teaches you, and it deepens as you get older. You learn those processes to where you can turn around and teach the younger generation. Hey, I've been there. And don't be afraid to tell the younger generation. Hey, I know exactly what you're going through. This is what happened to me. And tell them your experiences, because that's how they're going to grow. That's how they're going to grow. So every season reveals new areas needing transformation. Spiritual maturity is not perfection. It's progression. We are not finished products. We are ongoing reflections. So we want to reflect. When I hear the gates click behind me is when I know that I'm a finished product. It's over. Or when I take my last breath, you know, it's game's over. So what did I do in my entire life to where I can represent Christ? So when they bury me, what kind of words are they going to speak about me? And that's what goes through my mind when I was studying this, you know, what do people think about me? By how I act, by how I walk. Because when you least expect it, someone is watching. Someone's watching every step. You know, and I want to imitate Christ. And so in conclusion here, imitating Christ is a daily dependence. It's consistence in obedience, growing in humility, active compassion, and visible alignment. I'm not too good to be able to be realigned. I don't have it all together to where I don't need compassion towards others. I don't have a spirit of pride about me to where I can't have a spirit of humility. I don't have it all together to where I don't need obedience. And I surely don't want to live in independence, because I need each and every one of you in my life. And so the question is not, do I admire Christ? The question is, am I becoming like him? And so in discussions here, understanding Christ, what aspect of Jesus' life challenges you the most right now? Is it his humility, his obedience, his compassion, or patience?
All the above. I had a chance to talk to a good friend, and he'd been incarcerated, and
yeah,
what he was doing wasn't, I guess, things he was doing just for fun could lead him back where he was at. And I just said, hey, you know, even his dad and I were working together. I said, hey, you know, you need to probably just stop doing this and so on. And I talked to him yesterday. He said, I hadn't really thought about that. But he's got a family. I said, you got too much to lose to mess up. They're just having fun to go back. He said, thank you.
Right. And so through your obedience, you were able to advise him.
Yes. He took that advice.
And in your mind, as an adult to adult, it's like, well, I really don't want to step out of my boundary lines here. And so that spirit of pride will cause you to think, hey, I might step out of my bounds here. But if you do it, approach it with love and grace, that's called humility, you are able to help him stop, think, you know, what he's going to do next, you know. And so, and having that compassion, your heart just went out to him when he was speaking, or when you saw him, you know. And then what you did is you took time out. What you were doing, you'd be surprised what 30 seconds can do to somebody.
When you're older and you've lived life and you've seen things,
yeah.
You know, I guess not everybody has a chance to live 50 years old or
right.
60 or whatever. But if we have the chance, you know, in the right situation, you know, to talk to the younger generation and say, hey, you know, may not thought about this, right. But if it happens, you know, so he took it. It
right.
Took it. God was able to let me give it to him in love and humility.
Right. Right.
And he accepted that. And he said, I'm just, everything that you told me, I said, I got rid of. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got too much. Yeah, you're right. So God puts us, all of us, in a place and a purpose.
Right.
For a reason.
Absolutely.
I believe.
And paths don't cross just by happenchance. They're prophetically orchestrated that our paths are crossing somewhere in our life. Somewhere you're always meeting someone new. And we can't just say, oh, that just happened, chance. No. It's everything's prophetically orchestrated through our entire life. God has got everything. He knows exactly who we're going to meet. He knew I was going to meet you all. I didn't. I was still living in West Virginia. I had it good there, making great money. And then all of a sudden, God said, it's time to move. Do what? Leave a good paying job and my home that graciously renovated? Yeah, it's time for you to move. Okay. Babe, we're moving. Moving to Tennessee. But when you're obedient, everything lines up. I mean, I was able to sell my business within 3 weeks. Everything was sold in 3 weeks. I was able to sell our house in, you know, not in a day, but within a week. I was able to move debt-free into Tennessee here, move to Knoxville. But everything was orchestrated. When you're in obedience, everything's in alignment. Anybody else want to answer that question? Yes, sir.
I think patience. I'm very passionate about not having wet towels on the floor in the bathroom. Some of the ones in my household around me are not quite as passionate about that. So I'm not saying that happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the things that maybe we're passionate about as individuals, the ones around us may not be as passionate about that, no matter what we're doing. And I just use the wet towel thing for an example. But sometimes it takes patience to pull the ones along that might not be as passionate about whatever that is, insert whatever topic.
Yeah.
And sometimes that requires patience to pull those ones along.
Right. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice.
I agree with patience.
Yes.
For me as well. I think I'm patient to a point, but we all have our breaking point.
We do.
And I'm a stickler for a process. And I think there should be a process in everything, and then it's always the same. You always know where everything is. Not everybody is like that, and I know, like at work, stuff just torments me. Like, you know, your customer appearance walks in, if your desk is a mess, that doesn't look good for the company.
Right.
And that's just my perspective on it. I like go in and everything's neat. Our reaction to that thing, to stuff like that, just in turn brings our coworkers into that, like they're Christian.
Right.
And we hear that a lot. You know, we did things so good all along, but our first time we messed up, that's what they throw at us. And I think that's important for us to be mindful of our tongue. And I think my tongue is, you know, I've been told by some that I'm hateful. I don't feel like I'm hateful as much as it hit home.
Yeah.
But I try to watch my tongue.
Right.
And I think we need to be mindful of that and careful of that. And it made me really think about that. And I think patience and our tongue run hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely. They sure do.
Especially when you work in customer service, people are over the phone.
Yeah.
And that's when they hit
you. Right. You see, I was an operation manager for my dad's business with FedEx, because FedEx had a contractor side. And so I helped my dad grow his business to where it was like 45. We had 45 employees. And so I had to learn how to approach conflict. That's hard, because, man, I'm strong. What are we doing here? We're wasting money here. What are we going to do to change? And it's like God showed me, the way you approach is the way they're going to react. You approach them with, hey, man, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming in every day. But I got a little situation here. We need it. And it's your tone. Just like what she said, it's your tone. And so you keep your tone down. Guess what? You'll be surprised. The attitude, they'll eat out of your hand.
You can say the same thing with
yes.
your
tongue
and get
it
from
yourself. You can.
Change everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mine's patient on the other side of the coin. Because when I, there's something going on, I'm like the boy in the china shop. Let's knock it out and get it done. You know, I don't want to, I'm not reading a piece of paper that they help me. I want to get it done.
Step one. Hey, brother, we're on step three here. Let's.
And then if someone's moving to my step, then I think we need to be progressing, then my tone comes in.
Right.
But, you know, it's not like I'm trying to be mean or anything. It's just, that's just my nature. There's something to be done. I'm not asking for help. I'm a bull in a china shop. You know, let's, well, I get hurt, just get out of my way. Let me know.
Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
That's right.
That's a military thing.
But, you know, I mean, there's a process for people. With
right.
But it's just something I have to deal with because I'm not that guy. I got to hit the ground running.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. But God has shifted my thinking a lot. Because, like I said, I used to be hard and stern. I mean, I can knock that wall down in 30 seconds. But there's a process. I don't care what the process is. I'm going to knock that wall down. You know, you said demo it. I'm going to demo it. But there's a process even demoing. But anyways, question number two. How does Jesus' dependence on the Father reshape our understanding of spiritual strength?
Self-dependence is anathema to a child of God.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for men that grow up outside the church, we are taught to be self-reliant, be our own man, you know, find our own destiny. Then you get church, and then you're told, rely on God. And it's like everything you've been told your whole life is basically out the window.
Right.
And that is a process, and I think it's harder, especially for men that did not grow up in church, and that process does not happen quickly.
Right, they don't.
And for the women that married us, you said I do. you and Tina can talk about that.
But going like he's saying, I didn't grow up in church. But as you get older, you learn that the things that you lived through was because of God. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because you do some stuff, you think, I don't even know why I'm still here, but it's only because of God. You know, either he's got a great sense of humor or he can't wait to see what you do next. But, you know, it's like, so I think as you get older, even though you don't grow up in church, but with age you start to realize that he's what helped you get from year to year.
Right.
Was by his grace. Now we feel it's on our own, but actually God was there through his steps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
About 20 times until you learn your lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just like this country here, when we broke away from the dependence of other countries, we made our own declaration of independence. We don't want that. That's why we want each other. I don't have a declaration of independence. I want a declaration of dependence. I depend on my brother here that when I call, he's going to pray for me if I ask for prayer. None of this lip service. Yeah, I'll pray for you. No, immediately. Even if it's just, Lord, you see a situation right now, take control. That's all God wants to do. You could speak a word called love, and it will move a mountain. Just saying. So character and maturity. What one area where Christ-like character still needs to be formed in you? You can think on these. You don't have to answer. Unless you want to answer, you can. For me, it's obedience. I need to be more obedient. You know, because I know God is not going to put me in a position where it's going to hurt me. He's going to put me in a position that's going to help me and help somebody else. So God is going to move with compassion on you. He's going to move with love. He's going to give you words of wisdom and knowledge to be obedient to whatever it is. And so me moving to Tennessee has helped me. And then moving from Knoxville to here, being obedient has helped me. It's growing me. Question four here, how do trials reveal whether we are imitating Christ or reacting from the flesh?
Out of the abundance
of the heart, that's right.
Mouth speaking. when the Bible says be angry and sin not.
Yeah.
That's a challenge, because when we're angry, we tend to say things that we never get back.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says be slow to speak. You know, we need to guard what comes out of our mouths.
Right. That's right. Hey, if they put guardrails on the road, I don't think God's too far off.
No, because when you say something stupid to your wife, you never get it back.
That's right. They'll carry it to the grave. Yeah. So practical applications. I love practical applications. I can read the Bible all day long, but what is it doing for me today? I mean, I could read about Paul all day long, but what is it helping me in my situation right now? So I love practical application. In a recent difficult situation, how could you have responded more like Christ? If anybody wants to answer, you can. If not, it's okay. Time to reflect.
Probably, maybe think. You know, before you act, you know, we've all been through things, but people come to him with problems, mm-hmm. you know, and I've heard that our problems attract him. We see people doing things that, you know, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, you know, but if we could come in the right spirit and say, I don't think God would really approve of this way.
Right. So you're saying we have a choice before we respond or react, because it enters here first before it comes out here. Or
my problem actions. Is it comes out here before it goes out here. You know, especially in the working world, not everybody has done and seen what we've done.
Right.
We expect everybody to be on the same page as us along with working.
So when in the Bible it says, you know, by the renewing of our mind, that's what we have to do every day is renew it. I have to renew mine every second. You know, because, I mean, there's thoughts that go in your mind, but are they good? Are they pure? Are they holy? Are they loving? If they are, we need to think on those things. But if not, let's switch it over to those pure things, holy things that are a good report, you know. What daily habit would help you align belief and behavior more consistently? Lifelong processes. We got two more questions. Why do you think spiritual growth requires time?
It's hard to me. It's hard to listen to a preacher that still has milk on his own. Because they really haven't experienced life.
Right.
But when you have someone that's been down a rough road, to me, they make a better preacher because they understand our trials.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm, absolutely.
For someone that hasn't experienced anything, you're almost like speaking out of turn because yeah. You don't know what you talk about. If you're not married, you can't talk to me about marital issues.
Right.
If you don't have kids, it's hard to talk to me about kid issues.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So through life, from our beginning, like I was saying earlier, from the beginning to where we are now, we grew up through so much stuff that we gained wisdom. But now we're supposed to use that wisdom to help the next.
That's right.
And like you were saying about being dependent on each other. There might be people that I don't have a click with to be able to understand a problem, but I know I can go like a bike or whatever, or so much of a motorcycle. I know I can talk to Mr. Boggs because he's in that world and he can reach them better. You know what I mean? So that's where I think the united church comes together, is knowing each other's strengths. And when we're trying to help someone, we know who to go to because we can.
Absolutely. And my mind goes to Joshua and Caleb when they went over to the land and came back with evidence so big that they had to put it on a staff. How in the world did they get it? Who did they fight to get? when they came back and said, hey, we can go, we can claim that land right now. You had two men here out of the 12, you know, spies. Two came back with a report and with evidence, and you had the other 10 that came back with no evidence but had a report of negativity. And it seemed like the people drew to that versus drew into, you got evidence sitting right here. They're probably eating the grapes. Man, these are great grapes. Well, where'd you get them at? Well, you sit down. Let me tell you a story. I believe we can get this. You know, but it's the process, man. And when you're not in that state of mind, you know, you're not gonna be able to claim territory at all. You know, but what does process, not perfection, look like in your walk with God? What does progress, did I say progress? Okay. My mind says I said process, but progress, if I said process, not perfection, look like in your walk with God? That's right. Amen. 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 Yeah. And that's what I want to do each and every day. I want to show forth compassion. I want to show forth humility. I want to show forth obedience. I want to show forth dependence, and I want to show forth an alignment that people can see the Christ in me that shines out. You know, and the Bible says iron sharpens iron. It didn't say irons sharpens irons. It says iron. One piece of iron with another piece of iron sharpens itself. I need you to help sharpen me. You need me to help sharpen you. We need each other. I appreciate you guys listening to me ramble. Hopefully it made sense. And hey, let's have church today.
Yeah.
Let's get down there and let's worship God, and let's see that God is going to do things and miracles, signs and wonders take place today. I love you all. Thank you for listening to me. And let's walk the way of Jesus.